And I have, the last number of months, I've been walking in some areas that I have never been before in life. As I know all of us, each day is a new day, and we encounter new circumstances and situations. But with some of the problems physically and beginning to have a number of problems, I guess, in my nerves that it has affected, there has been a constant, and that has been the comfort of the Word of God and the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord. And I can say with all of my heart this morning that the only real peace is found in Jesus Christ. It is only found in when we open up our hearts and allow Him to be the King and Lord of our life, that in every situation, in every trial, in every battle, the Spirit of the Lord will be there to encourage and to strengthen and to comfort. Written on the board, Renee wrote on the board the burden that the Lord has given me to share for this morning. I will say that the Lord has not stopped giving me messages the last couple of months. The Lord has been giving me a lot of inspiration messages, but some of them were not for this congregation. And so I was struggling at times, Lord, what do you have for us here? You're giving me messages for other places, but what do you have for us here at home? And this week, the Lord had just so very simply put this burden and gave me this message that I have to share to us this morning. I believe that whatever place that we are in life, this will touch us because life is full of difficulties. And life is full of people that will not always treat you right. Life is filled with hurts and disappointments and misunderstandings. I'd like to relate a story that I know some of you have heard before, but in 1947, a lady by the name of Corrie Ten Boom, after the war in Germany, as you know the story of Corrie Ten Boom, she and her family had opened up their home to house Jews that were trying to escape from the Nazi regime in Germany. And so at the peril of their own life, they hid Jews in their home. And they were ended up being caught. And Corrie Ten Boom and some of her family was put in a concentration camp. She ended up losing some of her family there. Her sister died at Ravensbrück concentration camp. After the war, Corrie Ten Boom, she was released, obviously set free. She was liberated from the concentration camp. And I got the title on the board, Liberated by Forgiving. Corrie Ten Boom opened up a home to minister to the survivors of the war, those that had been hurt and brutalized and bruised in their spirits and in their bodies. She opened up a home for the survivors to try to help them be able to cope with the things that they had gone through and be able to have a quality of life afterward. She was in Germany from Holland. She lived in Holland. She came to Germany to speak to the people after the war ended on the subject of the forgiveness of God. And one night in 1947, she spoke to those people that had been so hurt. And afterward, the people quietly got up and left, and she'd been speaking about how God forgave them, those that had abused, those that had hurt others. You know this morning that each and every one of us has been greatly forgiven by a God that loves. Those that are not saved this morning, there is a God who died. There's a Christ who died for them because He loves them. And even if they have not accepted His forgiveness, the forgiveness of God is there waiting for each and every individual, no matter how egregious their actions, the Lord is there to forgive them. And so Corrie Ten Boom was speaking on that subject, and after she looked in the back as people were being dismissed, and she saw a man, I believe he was a bald-headed, large man. She saw him with his overcoat there, and she recognized him as having been a guard there at the concentration camp that she was in. And he was coming towards her, and she could feel her spirit and her heart clenching up because he had been there when her sister had died. He had seen her humiliated in the concentration camp. And as she looked at him coming towards her, she just could see in her mind him in his uniform with his leather crop hanging at his belt. And she froze. And he came up to her and he said, "What you had to say tonight was good." He said, after the war, he said, "I became a Christian." And he said, "God forgave me of all of my sin." But he said, "I would like to hear that from you, that God forgave me." And she didn't know if he recognized or not. He didn't. And he put his hand out to shake her hand, and she couldn't put her hand out. This is a man that had been part of the brutality of so many lives. And she knew she had just been speaking to them about God's forgiveness. And she knew that the Scripture taught, as you know the Scripture over in Ephesians 4:32, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We know that theology this morning. Forgiveness is a Christian duty. Forgiveness is a commandment. But yet, if someone has not treated you wrongly, what is there to forgive? Whether it's real or perceived. But yet, this was a man that had done great harm. And she knew forgiveness went beyond an emotion. You know, forgiveness is not just an emotion. Forgiveness is more than just those warm, fuzzy feelings that you get when barriers are broken down with people. Forgiveness has to do with a choice that we make consciously before the Lord, that, "Father, I choose to release the ill will and the bitterness and the anger, and I choose to let that go." And so Corrie ten Boom sat there, and she couldn't take her hand out of her pocket to shake his hand until finally, she quoted in her book, she said she woodenly put her hand out to do her Christian duty. And she said as she did, the most marvelous thing happened. As she reached out to his hand, she said she felt warmth going down her shoulder, down into her hand, and she felt the love of God overwhelm her. And she said, "Brother," she said, "I forgive you." Corrie ten Boom had found in the home that she started for survivors of the Holocaust, she found that those that came bruised and wounded physically and in their spirit, when they came to the place that they were able to forgive those that had done them wrong in the war, that they were able to go out and have a quality of life. They were able to leave that home, and they were able to work jobs again, and they were able to have families again. But she found, she said, that those that did not forgive and retain bitterness in their life, she said they stayed invalids and were never able to overcome the hurts that they had experienced. This morning there are going to be hurts and disappointments, some deep wounds that people will not ever understand until they have gone through those things. There are things that people go through this morning that all I can do is be compassionate because I haven't walked in their shoes. But yet, this is the reason why I put liberated by forgiving, because Corrie ten Boom, that man would have left still forgiven of God. But what happened was something in her spirit. What happened was she was set free herself when she forgave. And there is much to be said about God's forgiveness. And there's much to be said about us being forgiven. But there is something that I would like us to consider this morning, that there is a liberation and a freedom when we find through the power of God to forgive when we are not able our own ability. There are some areas in life that our own strength we are not able to forgive. But when we make a decision that, "Lord, I know You told me to let go. I know You told me to release the anger and the resentments and the ill will. That, Lord, according to Your word, I'm going to choose to do what You told me to do." That there is a liberating effect in our spirits. We ourselves can be set free, because unforgiveness If I choose not to forgive someone that has done me wrong, is that going to hurt them? No. They're going to go on and live life right or wrong however they want. But when I choose to forgive, it sets me free. Because if I don't forgive, I am bound by that person. I am chained to the ill will, the animosity, and the anger. I'm chained to them. I don't have the power to change anybody else's life this morning. But my soul is in my hand. Your soul is in your hand. And when we forgive, when we commit people into the hands of God with His love, we ourselves find deliverance and freedom because we forgave. I'm no more bound to that person. Why? So many people are bound by people that haven't done them right. People are bound by husbands and wives that have mistreated them. They are bound by parents that have abused them. There are parents that are bound by their children who are not doing right. There are people that are bound by Christians and people in the church that they perceive right or wrong that they haven't been done right. And they're bound by unforgiveness. What's going on in our spirit, folks, has the greatest impact in our own life. And that's where when we can learn and come to the Lord for the grace to forgive all of our enemies, to forgive those that haven't done us right, that we're going to be liberated and the love of God will take the place. You see, forgiveness does not mean that all circumstances are going to be like I want them. Forgiveness does not mean that people are going to change and do what they ought to do. But forgiveness sets us free. Very familiar passage of Scripture, and we've read it probably twice in different contexts in the last number of months. But over in the book of Acts, in the 7th chapter, we read of Stephen. When Stephen was witnessing of Jesus Christ and the hope that he had, and we read about how the people turned on Stephen and they began to gnash at him, it says, with their teeth. In the verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And it said, when they cried out with a loud voice, it said, they ran on him, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And as they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep, for he passed away. His spirit went up to be with the Lord. This was a man who, right in the middle of persecution, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. In other words, do you think if Stephen wouldn't have prayed that prayer, it would have changed anything with those people that were persecuting him? Would it have made a difference for them? I don't think relatively it really would have, because they were still going to give an account for their actions to the Lord. But Stephen wanted to die as he lived. He wanted to die free. He did not want to die being bound with unforgiveness and hatred at people that were not treating him right. Stephen was liberated. The definition of liberate is to set free is from oppression, confinement, or foreign control. Have you ever struggled with unforgiveness? Anybody besides me? Do you realize that when you are in the struggle is a good thing? Because you know what? When you're struggling, it means you haven't given in. So if you're struggling this morning, be encouraged. But if you've resigned and you're not struggling and you have not forgiven, you are binding your own spirit. Because when we have not forgiven, we are confined and we're under foreign control. Something else is controlling our spirits when we can find liberty and we can find a peace right in the middle of opposition. When we forgive. I told you that forgiveness, according to the Scripture, was our Christian duty. We're commanded to do it. But if people could see and recognize that when we forgive, it brings personal liberation. I'm no longer bound to that person. I'm no longer bound to the one that didn't do me right. I'm no longer bound to the one that 15 years ago hurt me so badly. Corrie Ten Boom was no longer bound to this guard that stood over her in her humiliation where her sister died. She was no longer bound to him. She had been set free through the power of forgiveness. The definition of forgive means to let go. The Greek word for forgive means to let go. In other words, I'm not going to be bound anymore. Bound by unforgiveness, no, but I'm going to forgive. It's going to be let go. It enables us to move forward. You know, people that have not found the power of forgiveness are never able to grow spiritually like God wants them to, because they're held back. They're bound. The Lord wants to set free this morning. The Lord wants to liberate. And understand, forgiveness goes way beyond an emotion, because sometimes we don't feel like it. But it is a decision, because I love the Lord and I want my spirit to be free. And I'm trusting in the grace of God to enable me to do what the Bible teaches. That's where the power of forgiveness is going to be found, folks. Unforgiveness gives rent-free space to people in our hearts and minds. Rent-free space. Someone that's done you wrong, you want to get away from them. Don't you? I mean, naturally, physically. But do you recognize that when we forgive, as long as we don't forgive, we're just giving them rent-free space in our hearts and our minds. But when we forgive, we entrust them to the Lord, and we give those feelings that are binding us, we commit those into the hands of God. I recall a story, and I've read the account in different ways in the past, of Leonardo da Vinci when he was painting the picture of the Last Supper. And he had, before he started that painting, the story is told, obviously I wasn't there to know the truth of it, but they said that he had a conflict with another painter, and that they had a great problem between the two of them. And so in painting this picture, Leonardo da Vinci was bound and determined that he was going to paint the face of that painter on the face of Judas, as the face of Judas in that painting. So everybody that came, that Judas, the evil disciple, that they would see that painter. And that's what he did. It was one of the first faces that he completed, was this person that he had a real problem with. And when it came time to paint the face of Christ, the story is told that he had a lot of problems, and he couldn't do it. He kept trying, and it just wouldn't come. Wouldn't work. He couldn't get the face of Christ right. Until finally he recognized that his desire for revenge was keeping him from painting the picture of Christ. And so he went back and he changed the face of Judas. And he was able to go back to Christ and paint a picture of Christ. This morning, I would that each and every one of our desire is to paint Christ to the world. But if we are bound by unforgiveness, we will never be able to portray the beauty of the love of Christ to the world. We will never be able to truly move forward like the Lord wants us to move. But we can be liberated by forgiveness. See, again, I want to say it again, forgiveness doesn't change anybody else. It changes me. Forgiveness, and these are just a few things I wrote down, but forgiveness is not about understanding it all. Some of us are people, I'm mathematically inclined. I think logically, that's how I was trained scholastically. It's the way my mind works. You know, 1 + 2 = 3. Logically, take the facts. Forgiveness is not about dealing with the facts this morning. All right? Forgiveness is not about dealing with the facts. It's dealing with my spirit. That, Lord, I give this to you. And I don't understand. And it doesn't make sense. But, Lord, I forgive. Forgiveness is not about accepting the circumstances. Sometimes people feel like that if we forgive, then we're just saying everything's fine and there's not a problem. No, forgiveness is about letting go of ill will and resentment and anger and those attitudes that keep us confined. When you forgive a person, and I think this is important for us folks, because when we forgive, it does not mean that we're immediately healed. You know that? God has capability to forgive, and people say to forget. He casts our sins into the sea. But you know, I have found that in my own experience, when I find that power to forgive in my own life, that there are still some tears that are shed sometimes. There's still some hurt. But the Lord is there to help bring healing. The Lord is there to begin to bind up what is broken. But I forgave. And it doesn't mean that I don't hurt anymore. There are things I think back to many years ago, some things that I forgave someone. And you know, even today, many years later, it still hurts some. It doesn't hurt like it used to, because the Lord brought healing. But I forgive. There's no ill will. There's no animosity. There's no resentment. There's no barrier. Because my heart's open. And if you're not there today where you're hurting, know that forgiveness enables us to begin a journey of healing. It doesn't happen with one trip to the altar, but it enables us to begin a journey of healing in our spirits, like Corrie Ten Boom with those that she ministered to, that we can begin to still have quality of life and enjoy the peace of God in my spirit, regardless of others round about me. When you forgive someone, it does not mean that you automatically trust them again. You know that? If you come and ask me to borrow $100, and this has happened to me more than once, may I borrow $100? Here you go. And not get paid back. I forgive that. Fine, not going to hold it against you. But if you come again and ask me again for $100 to borrow, I might do it again. And I've done that too. But you know, the third time, I may say, you know what, you've asked to borrow it twice and I really don't trust you now. Forgiveness does not mean that you trust. Forgiveness does not mean that someone's automatically your buddy again, immediately, because trust is gained over time. But it opens up an avenue to begin to rebuild trust. But that can never happen without forgiveness. Without forgiveness, there is no place for restoration in relationships. Without forgiveness, there is no place for restoration in relationships that have been broken through hurts and misunderstandings and disappointments, whether they be small things or great, deep wounds in our spirits. Because forgiveness, to me, is really like a bridge. It spans a gap. It spans a divide that is there. And it's still up to the other person whether they want to walk across that bridge or not. See? Forgiveness does not force someone's hand. Forgiveness is about finding liberation in my spirit. And I shared quite a while back, and I would like to share again, a little story I heard, and I have since read it myself. But there were two businessmen that met together one evening, and they got talking, and they talked through the night, visiting, and when it got in the wee hours of the night, they looked at each other and said, "We're going to get in trouble by our wives," because they didn't get home on time. Their paths crossed later on, and they said, "Well, what happened when you got home?" One of them said, "I walked through the door," and said, "my wife got hysterical." They said, you mean hysterical? They said, no. She got historical. You've done this and that, and she told me everything I've ever done wrong. Do you know that part of forgiveness is committing those things to the Lord? I can't do that in my own power this morning. But by the grace of God, each and every one of us can give the past to the Lord to enable to go forward. Now, you say, well, where does this start? Where does forgiveness start? Someone tell me. Really practically, who does it start with? Where? All right, it starts with yourself. You ever gone historical on yourself? I did this and that, and I'm no good, and I can't have forgiveness of self liberates. When you have asked God to forgive and asked people that you have hurt to forgive you, you forgive yourself, folks, you can be liberated. Who's the next person it starts with, or what area of life does it start? All right, I'll say it if no one has the courage to. It starts at home, with those that are closest to you. It starts with your children. It starts with parents, with your husband, with your wife, with brothers, and with sisters. Do you know the strongest marriages this morning are not necessarily built because two people are so similar? They are built because people have learned to forgive the differences and still love. Little things are not allowed to become big things because we forgive. We're not going to hold on to it. And so I get hurt. My wife hurts me today, and I start telling her everything she's ever done wrong that I didn't like for the last 20 years that we've been married. Does that create a strong marriage? No. But it's when we let the past be buried in the past and take each new day with a fresh love and fresh challenge and courage and love and devotion to each other. That's where it starts, is in our homes, folks. Strong marriages, strong relationships are not because you don't have any misunderstandings or even any disagreements sometimes. It comes because you love in spite of those and through those and over those. And those things that maybe something didn't cross you just right, you forgive that. And do you know who it makes the biggest difference in? It's not your spouse. It's in you. It changes your attitude and your perspective in how you relate and how you reach out to people that we worship with. You say, well, we all believe the exact same thing and see everything just alike here this morning. Would that be a true statement? Do you know what that means? It means there are going to be some places among God's people that we need to forgive each other. Forgiveness liberates. I read an account of a police officer in Dallas, Texas, that was shot by two teenagers, and he was paralyzed from the waist down for life. And he went to there once they were sentenced and they were put in life or in prison for life. The newspaper had put a picture in the paper of this police officer there with one of these young men that had shot him, paralyzed him for life. And the police officer had told this young man, he said, I forgive you. And he said, I hope that you will keep in touch with me and let me know how things go for you in prison. And then they overheard this police officer saying, he said, it's over and it's time for me to get on with my life. And I'm going to do that until I hear him say on that day, get up and walk. That man was liberated because he forgave the very one that had hurt him. You know, sometimes it's not just the big things that we need to forgive. I think sometimes the things that create barriers between people in relationships really are fairly insignificant when you just take a step back. It's not that big of a deal, but it's when we don't forgive that little things become big things, and then it separates, and then the enemy gets in there, and forgiveness liberates. So how can we forgive this morning? How did Stephen forgive? How did he find the power to forgive? It was because when he went into that battle, his eyes were lifted up to heaven, and it said he was full of the Holy Ghost. And lifting up his eyes into heaven, he saw Jesus Christ at the right hand of the throne of God. And you know what Jesus was doing for him? He was making intercession. Folks, forgiveness is not just about willpower this morning. Forgiveness, whether it be small or whether it be big. Again, remember, we're talking about personal liberation through forgiveness. We are able to forgive through the Spirit of the Lord in our life. Divine enablement to forgive. So my prayer is this morning that in each one of our lives, in our homes, in the congregation, in the body of Christ, in the people that you work with, the people you go to school with, your neighbors, that you will find a place of liberation through forgiveness in your life. I want to tell one other quick little story before I sit down. Brother Trimble was a real man of God in California. I grew up hearing stories about him. And he had a neighbor and a wife that were very difficult to live with. I'll just tell a story on his neighbor here, maybe his wife later. But his neighbor, he had some beautiful trees. And I almost think they were elm trees. But they were beautiful trees that lined a long drive to his house. And they were Brother Trimble's. And one day he came home and his neighbor had gone out there and cut down all his trees. So Brother Trimble went out there, and I'm not sure he was a real well man. He got his chainsaw out and he cut up that wood. And he took that firewood over to his neighbor. It was a sign of love. I forgive. It was a sacrifice. This morning I would that each of us learn from that kind of example. The example of Brother Trimble, the example of Stephen, the example of Corrie ten Boom. Life, we have so many good examples of it. Christ Himself, the Lord has forgiven us of so much. So let us do likewise with everybody in our life. You will find it will liberate your spirit that you can move forward. May God bless you.